goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for another wonderful episode. Thank you for all the things you've done in time past, and thank you for the word you've sent us in the past episodes. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask tonight again that you visit everyone. Let no one return back the same way. Let everyone have an encounter of a lifetime. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains maximizing the law of attitude and disposition for good success. Last week, the topic we looked at was, what is this good success? If you missed it, please make sure you listen to it on the website, thegoodsuccess.com. What is this good success? And we were able to explain what good success is, because if the purpose of the thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Praise the Lord. Today, let's look at a few scriptures. Number one, Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Then James 1:21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Praise God. So there is the matter of the heart. There is the situation in which our reaction depends on our attitude and disposition. In life, it is not our situations that determine our experience, but it's our attitudes and dispositions that do. And previous week, that's week before the last, we looked at the law of perspectives. Perspective determines what we see, while attitude and disposition direct what we do. This is a matter of the heart, and this determines our perception of situations and circumstances. We must understand that we see based on our perspective, based on past experiences in life. It determines how we see and what we see. But it's our attitudes and disposition to life that directs or determines how we react to situations. Praise the Lord. So we must always check our reactions. We must always check how our attitudes and dispositions are affecting how we react to situations. One of the reasons I advise those deciding to choose a marital partner to focus more on character and not just, mind the word, not just on how spiritual a person is because it takes a split second for the human spirit to be saved. But it could take years or decades or even a lifetime for the soul to be saved. The Bible talks about the soul being saved. The spirit gets saved, you know, the spirit was dead and comes alive immediately when we become born again. But our soul, you know, has been alive, but has been on the side of the devil and the things of this world and the flesh. So the soul now begins to mold itself into the word of God. That's why the Bible says that we should renew our mind. It's talking about the soul that is being changed day by day. Praise the Lord. So, unlike the spirit of man, at the point of confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, the soul gets some empowerment to do the right thing. It only gets empowered to do the right thing. So we begin to change gradually and gradually. That's why you see somebody just became born again today, that tomorrow he may still be fighting. It's not as if he's no longer born again. He's still born again, but the attitudes and disposition, which is the function of the heart, is just being changed and transformed gradually. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that. And that's why God says he has placed before us right and wrong, life and death, that we should choose. That means it's possible for us to choose life and reject death. And it's possible for us to also choose death and reject life. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that when someone is born again and he doesn't walk in the laws of the Spirit, he said the person will die. Meaning that it doesn't matter if the person is born again or not. If he chooses to walk in the flesh continuously, the person is still going to lose his salvation. But if the person chooses to walk in the Spirit, in the things that God command per time, then the person is guaranteed of eternal life. So we now have the power to choose right and wrong. Let's remember that we are still looking at the law of attitude and disposition. How does this affect our good success? So, to the topic at hand, we need to understand that life is a game of chances. What do I mean by that? We may not be able to predict the options that we are served, just like if you are playing a game, Ludo, Monopoly, chess, you can't determine what the opposition will bring your way. You can't determine what will happen, but you can determine what to do with that situation. That is how life is. You may not be able to determine the circumstances that you face along the way to your glory, to the place that God has ordained you to be. You may not be able to see the situations, the challenges of life that will come along the way. But you can determine what to do with those situations. You can determine what to do with those circumstances. So that's what all this is about. Yes, God has ordained a glorious place for you, just like Joseph. God said he's going to be at the top, he's going to be the breadwinner of his family. But God did not reveal to him all the things that would happen along the way. And he could have changed those circumstances in the negative if he didn't decide to stay in the right attitude and disposition. So that's why this topic is very important. So we have the power of faith, and we can proclaim, we can prophesy, we can declare what the future holds. But we may not be able to see what will lead to the eventual end. That's the future that God has prepared for us. If we can determine everything along the way, then life is no more an adventure. And there is no reason to depend on God as our light and guide. The uttermost end is still sure. But along the way, there will be steps to take. There will be things to see. There will be battles to fight. So how do we handle these circumstances, which will determine how we enjoy or suffer, God forbid, along the way? Praise the Lord. Let's remember that our journey through life is the one that God uses to build character in us. And why God does not always reveal all these things to us is because these circumstances, these challenges are used by God to build character in us. God is more after our character. He's more after what we become along the way. So we must always understand that negative or unexpected circumstances can only be used to bring out or reveal the true nature or maturity that we have reached. Praise the Lord. So it's not as if, okay, we are always going to see negative things. No. But it's just saying that whether positive things are happening or the things you don't expect, God is using these things to build our character. For example, a lot of money can come your way. It will still be used to build your character. What will be your attitude? What will be your disposition to people who don't have like you when you have a lot of money? So it's still part of it. Or when you are expecting a lot of money and it has not come when you think it will come, what will be your attitude? What will be your disposition? Are you going to get angry and deny God when you don't have like you think you should have along the way? Remember, our walk with God is full of tests and temptations. Devil is going to bring temptations your way. God is going to bring tests your way. He tested Abraham, but the devil tested Job. Both are going to be used for your victory and for your eventual end. Praise the Lord. So let's understand that if Jesus went through circumstances and situations that no one could predict, Paul, Peter, David, Joseph, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and other characters in the Bible, they went through their gloomy years. Who do I think I am not to be able to go through tests and temptations? So when they come, the Bible says that if a man falls in the day of adversity or the day of temptation or test, then his strength is small. So your attitude will be proved, your disposition in life will be tested. Praise the Lord. So what are we supposed to do? We should rejoice when those circumstances come, because they are not to break us down, but to make us and promote us to the next levels of breakthroughs and glory. Let's remember that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So we always win. We always be at the top. When the person is defeated, then there's a problem. So you are always guaranteed of victory in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So how do we maximize the law of attitude and disposition for good success? Before we dive into that, we need to understand what a law is. In the past, we've been talking about different kinds of laws that lead to good success. So what is a law? What is the law that we are talking about? A law is a set of rules that have rewards for respecting and obeying them and consequences for breaking them. I'm going to repeat that. A law is a set of rules that have rewards for respecting or obeying them and consequences for breaking them. A law is a law. A law is no respecter of person. You must understand that a law is indifferent to you and does not care who you are or who you are not. So you must obey it for your own sake, not for the sake of the law. Let's understand that. So if God has said this is a particular law that works for so-so result, we must obey that law. If you don't obey that law, the law doesn't care who you are. The law, when you break it, you see the circumstance. When you obey it, you see the positive end of it. So it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a bishop, a founder, a president of a country. Whoever does not obey the law, success cannot have it. At least not good success. Praise the Lord. So we must understand that there are different laws. For example, when you're talking about prosperity, you can't remove the law of giving. Giving is required for prosperity. So if someone is not a giver, don't expect the kind of prosperity that God gives, because that is a law that brings it. So if you want to have success, there's a law of hard work. There are many laws that surround all these things for good success. Remember, as we have said in time past, that good success is too complex for it to just happen by chance. It cannot just happen by chance. No, it is calculated. It is obeyed from step to step. So one of the laws is what we are looking at today, the law of attitude and disposition. Praise the Lord. The reason we are teaching these laws is of good success is because these laws apply in any nation and under any circumstance in life. Number two, what is attitude? The dictionary defines attitude as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Your behavior reveals your attitude. You may deceive someone else, you may deceive me, you may deceive yourself, but your behavior always reveals your attitude. Okay, from the dictionary definition of attitude, it is obvious that these thoughts or feelings come from the inside out. So we need to first work on our inside for the right attitudes and dispositions to come up. So if I'm not feeding myself, my spirit, my person with the right information, I'm always going to act in the wrong way. Your behavior under different circumstances will give you out. It will reveal you. It will expose your secret. You and I want to make sure that we take the right steps to have inside us the right words, the right thoughts, the right attitudes. Praise God. Then number three, what is disposition? Dictionary also defines it as a person's inherent qualities of mind and character. A person's inherent qualities of mind and character. Inherent because it is inside. The qualities of your mind, your character. It also says that the way in which something is placed or arranged, especially in relation to other things. So what I'm bringing out there is the part that he talks about in relation to other things. So you are looking at your disposition, your attitude when a particular situation is at hand. Are you going to change? Are you going to bend? Are you going to be a man of different characters under different circumstances? Do you know why Jesus was angry with the hypocrites? Because they had different characters under different circumstances. They were not stable. They can behave this way today, and you know, when situations or circumstances change, they behave that way tomorrow. So we need to understand that our disposition is our behavior in relation to circumstances. How will you be positioned when things don't go your way or when it doesn't go as expected? Will you let your confidence go? Will you let it go? So that is the question. Hebrews 10:35 says we should not let go of our confidence, which has a lot of rewards. So we need to understand that. I have a couple of questions to stir us up while we listen to the list of how we maximize attitude and disposition for good success. Number one, what would you do if you were Moses, who landed in exile for fighting for his people? Moses, I believe, already started sensing his calling. There was to set his people free, and he started doing it in his own energy, maybe the way he thought it should be done. And guess what happened? His people started gossiping and started getting angry with him for killing an Egyptian because of them, for fighting for them. So he had to run away, and he was in exile for about 40 years. What would be your attitude? If you were in the place of Moses, in the shoes of Moses, if God came back to you to say, now go and set my people free, what will you do? Will you say, God, I don't want to set those people free, now I hate them? No. Moses just followed after God's instructions. And he started fighting for those people as if they never hurt him or made him angry. Second question, what do you do if you are Joseph, who became a slave instead of being on the throne he saw clearly? Joseph either had dreams several times, making him sure that he had a glorious destiny. He was so sure about it because he was telling his brothers, or maybe he just had two dreams and it was so clear to him, he was so sure about it that he was repeating over and over again that even his fathers, his brothers were angry. That means he has said it several times and they were so sure that he meant what he said. That's why they fought against him, that's why they sold him into slavery. But if you were in Joseph's shoes and you were sold into slavery, what would be your disposition? What would be your attitude? Will you start getting angry? You can see Joseph that, you know, it takes somebody who's happy to recognize somebody who's sad. Because if you are sad, you just be in the same perspective, you be at the same level. So Joseph must have been very happy to see that somebody was sad. And he went to him, why is your countenance down? What is happening with you? And he was helping them, interpreting their dreams, doing what he knew how to do, full of joy. That's it. So what would be your attitude if you were in the shoes of Joseph? What would be your disposition? What God said about your life, if you are not seeing it come to pass when you think it should come to pass, will you now start doubting God? Or you keep having faith like Abraham? So that is the question. Second question. Then number three, what would be your attitude and disposition if you were Jacob? Jacob received a direct blessing of his father Isaac. Yet, his life had nothing to show for it for about 40 years. He served for the first wife. He was conned, he was deceived, he served for another one. He was being deceived over and over again. In fact, he told Laban, he said he has been deceiving him and changing his wages for about, you know, 10 years. He said he's been changing his wages over and over again. What does that mean? It means that if he says he was going to pay him $1,000, he will end up paying maybe $500. He was just changing and deceiving him. What would be your disposition? What would be your attitude? Will you just let go of the dream that God has placed before you? Will you let go of the plan of God for you? If when you look at the circumstances around you now, it doesn't look like where you are going, will you just give up? So that is the question for you and I today. What you see, don't let it determine your disposition and attitude. Praise the Lord. And the last question, what will be your disposition when success comes? Now you are expecting the success, you are expecting the glory. What will be your attitude? I pray that you and I will not be like Saul in the Bible, who changed his attitude towards God after 40 years of having success. When that success comes, will you change your attitude towards God? Will you start looking down on God? Will you start thinking your own hand has brought you all these blessings that has come your way? So, what will be your attitude when success finally comes? What will be your disposition? So, that's the question for you and I today. Then lastly, how do I maximize the law of attitude and disposition for good success? Number one, do not let go of your confidence. Your confidence must remain intact no matter what you see. No matter what happens around you, your confidence in God and what He has told you about your life, don't let it shake. If you have to create a picture of that future and place it where you can see it every day, please do. If God has said you'll be a great real estate person, building estates all over the country where you reside, what do? Go and get a picture of a great estate. They are all over the internet and they are free. Print it for yourself. Place it somewhere. Glaze it. Frame it. Place it where you can see it. Because that is the way which you don't let go of it. Keep it in your front. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that they should keep all the law. They should put it on their head, put it as belt, everywhere where they can see it, so that they won't let go of that confidence. So you too, do not let go of the confidence that God has shown you. Number two, feast on the word of God. Feast on the word of God. The word of God is food indeed. So if you don't feast on it every day, your confidence will be lost. I believe the difference between, Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies was because they were filled with the word of God. Their confidence was different. They didn't let their attitude and disposition change when they saw people that were greater than they were. Do you think those 10 spies were lying? That those people were tall and giants? I don't think they were lying. the Amalekites. They were giants. But Joshua and Caleb, because of what has been stored in them, the word of God has been stored in them. Did you know that Joshua was sitting at the gate waiting for Moses every time he went to the mountain? He was always sitting there, waiting and watching and just staying. So probably he was just overhearing all those words from God. So what is this telling us? It is still a word of God that will keep us safe and sound, no matter what challenges of life come our way. So we must keep our confidence secured. And how do we do that? Feasting on the word of God. If you and I notice that every time you read the word of God, your spirit is elevated. You can't be filled with the word of God and be depressed. No, not when you have enough of it. So store up the word of God in you, and your attitude and disposition will be determined by that word. Because attitude and disposition is an inherent thing. It comes from the inside. So because it comes from the inside, you and I must feed that inside with what it needs. And what is that inside? It's talking about your spirit. Feed it with the word of God. And you see that it is what you have filled with will come out. It's just like when you soak a cloth in water. When you squeeze it, what happens? Water comes out. If you're also soaked in the word of God, when circumstances of life comes your way and squeeze you, what will come out? The word of God. The confidence you have received in the word of God is what is going to come out. Praise God. Then, see, keep company with those of good attitude. If the people around you are always speaking negative, talking about how bad the country is, talking about how much nobody has money, how fuel price has gone up, how food prices have gone up, how rent has gone up, then you are going to start thinking the same way. So you have to keep company with those of good attitude. If you have to beg them to be your friends, please do. Because when you work with them, iron sharpens iron. But if you are iron and the people around you are wood, they are going to blunt your edge. So you and I must make sure that you work with people and with those of good attitude, not those who talk negative about other people, who backbite, who speak the negative, who don't see anything good about the future, who just want to live life by, just want to pay rent, who just want to pay their bills and live and just be okay. No, you want to live with people with good attitude. You want to be their friends. You want to walk around them. If you have to walk alone, please. If there is nobody around you who can have the kind of attitude you think you should have, please walk alone. The Bible did not say that it's wrong, it's a sin to walk alone. If you don't have any good person to walk with, please walk alone until you are able to attract the right people around you, or they are able to attract you. So please keep company with those of good attitude. Let me repeat again. Number one, don't let go of your good confidence. Two, feast on the word of God. Three, keep company with those of good attitude. Then number four, consistently keep yourself charged up with anointed messages. As a child of God, there are people who have gone ahead of you. They have results. They have proven results. And their lives are currently reflecting the things you want to see. Then keep yourself charged up with those messages that have come through them. They are all online. This generation, we don't really have any excuse, because we have YouTube. We have every avenue is up there where we can listen to the word of God. YouTube is mostly free, and we can listen to all these messages. You can just search. All you need to do is search. Search Google. You see audio messages. You see video messages. Whichever one, there is no escape for you and I. Keep yourself charged up with anointed messages from anointed people who have the track record of where you are going. Then number five, similarly, charge yourself up with anointed music. You and I want to keep yourself filled up with the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit resides. If you are always listening to wrong music that are mostly secular, I don't even want to use the word secular, they are mostly unrighteous, that's it. So music that are mostly filled with ungodly things, what do they talk about? They talk about money, they talk about women, they talk about sex, they talk about the wrong things of life, of greed, of just enjoyment in quotes, of drinking, of, you know, you don't want to surround yourself with that. Surround yourself with anointed music. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit find it easy to stay around you. Angels find it easy to be of service to you. So let's remember that. Charge yourself up with anointed music. Then number six, speak to yourself. Nobody can preach to yourself like you do. It is easy to preach to other people, but learn to take some time to speak to yourself. Preach to yourself. If you have to go and face the mirror and speak to yourself, when you wake up in the morning, look at that face. Because many people may realize they don't even like their faces. I know it sounds funny, but many people don't like how they look. So go to that mirror, look at your face, and begin to speak what you want to your face. Speak it to yourself as if you are preaching to someone. Tell yourself how great your destiny is. Tell yourself the future that God has made for you that is going to come to pass. Tell yourself that whatever you are facing right now is nothing, but just a vehicle to carry you to the future that God has prepared for you. Speak to yourself. It is very important. Let me run through it again. Do not let go of your confidence. Feast on the word of God. Keep company with those of good attitude. Consistently charge yourself up with anointed messages and charge yourself with anointed music, and speak to yourself. Let's not forget that. Speak to yourself. Then number 7, keep abreast of the picture of the future. Keep abreast of the picture of the future you want to have. Never let it go. I think I already mentioned that in the first option. Don't let go of the future. Keep the picture ahead of you. Always picture it. Always see it. And by the time you do that, you will always have joy in yourself. You know, what we see determines the kind of joy we have. So if you're always focusing on that future, you will lose sight of whatever circumstances may be happening that you don't like, which are actually needed to get you to where you're going and needed to build character in you. So keep abreast. Keep your focus on that future. Then do not lose your joy. See the example of Joseph. We already mentioned that also. Don't lose your joy. Challenges of life will come to take your joy away. God says, don't lose your joy. In fact, he says, rejoice always. We need to understand that the person who wrote that scripture down, who God used to write it down, is Paul the Apostle. Do you know what happened to him when he was writing that you should rejoice always? He was imprisoned with maybe fetters on his leg and his hands and sit and not moving. This guy was a prisoner for almost all the time he wrote the scriptures. And yet he was saying, rejoice always. You are not in prison. And if perhaps somebody is in prison that will listen to this later, you are still not in prison, your spirit. Somebody may jail you in your physical person, but he can't jail you in your spirit. Nobody can jail the spirit. So you are not a prisoner. Rejoice. Do not lose your joy. And finally, keep fighting. Keep fighting until you get to the future. And this, look at the example of David. The way God came to him, anointing was so dramatic. And you know, they came to him in the midst of his brothers, very obvious that God was with him, anointed him. Guess what happened? Not long after, he killed Goliath, became a national hero, started working for the king. And guess what happened? The king turned against him and wanted to kill him. And he became a fugitive in his land, running up and down, entering caves, sleeping in caves. Someone that God said would be on the throne, now sleeping in caves. He even had to feign madness. He had to pretend as if he was mad, drooling in his mouth. And guess what? He kept fighting until he got to the throne. So you and I must keep fighting. Why should you keep fighting? Because you have won already. God said you are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. So keep fighting with victory in view. And I pray that as you do all these things, victory is sure for you and I in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe you have been blessed today. I will leave the mics open now. You can unmute yourself now. You have the power to unmute yourself right now. And if you have any question, it is time to ask. We have about 5 minutes for that, so that we can all go and have enjoy the rest of the day or have a good night rest. So please, you can unmute yourself. If you have any question, I can see somebody, Benefit Health, you're welcome. Today, I believe today is your first time. You're welcome also. So if you have a question, it's time to ask that question. Praise the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, sir. Thank you very much for today's.
Yes, good evening.
Hello.
You're welcome. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for today's sermon. It's really like touching, and I think I'll have to listen to it over and again because I really want to have the impact of the sermon. So I'll have to listen to it over and again so that I can really have good understanding, and so that it can helped me in being focused and not losing track, you know, of whatever I want to become. And I am one of the parts that got to me the most is the part of surrounding oneself with the right music at every point in time. I want to ask the question for that part. Now, if every time you are available, you're not in places where you can have that music around you every time, maybe because of, okay, sometimes maybe you go to work and you cannot have music around you every time, you know, sometimes when you get back, you might be disturbing other people that, you know, are not in tune with you, and you don't have the control of your environment. Yes, I think that's the word. When you don't have the control of your environment, control what things, you know, you hear at a particular point in time, what do you think one can do in those situations?
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other question so that we can take it together?
Yeah, that's the only question.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so let me, by God's Spirit, answer that one. So number one, I will say that if you can, we all have the option to get our earpiece. So if you're in a place, I know I'm not talking about office environment now. If you're in a place, maybe a noisy place or in a location or environment where, you know, you have different kind of wrong music. I always say this thing, you know, especially when I was in school, I playfully say that overcome evil with good. So when everybody is playing wrong music around me, what do? I just take my headphones and lock my ear and start hearing the right music. So that's one way you can do it. If it's at a place, you know, that is not office, maybe, and they permit that you can use your earpiece, so why not? Please plug your ears and listen to the right music. That's one way to do it. That's one. Then number two, if you're in a place, for example, you went for a party that you just have to be in and they're listening to the wrong music, of course, take your mind off it. All of us have control over our minds, or leave that party as soon as you can, or leave that environment as soon as you can. But for every office environment, for example, if it's an office environment, of course, I don't think they'll be playing so wrong music, depending on the kind of office or work you do. So, but if it is, then I think what you can do most times is keep yourself busy with the work and keep speaking in tongues inside of you. Nobody can stop you from speaking in tongues inside, if of course you're not making noise to disturb everyone else. In fact, you can change the circumstance of that environment by prayer. You can even go, there are things you can do as a child of God. If it's an environment and you see you can't do anything about it, you can cut that device and make sure it's not functioning again. At least for a few days, you save yourself a stress. Just declare that television will be faulty and everybody will be at peace. You know, that's on the extreme, of course. But what I'm just saying is, as much as lies on you, as much as you can, keep yourself filled with the word of God. And of course, you are the light of the world. If where you are, there is no light, begin to shine the light. Begin to live as an example. You want to see as many people as you can make sure are connected to Christ, as are born again. You want to make sure you lead as many people to Christ as possible in that place. Once you do, everyone else will begin to align with the right thing in that place as much as possible. Prayerfully, you can change circumstances. You can change environments. In fact, the boss may just come one day and say, no more playing of music in this office. Then you are saved. So we cannot always, just like I've emphasized over and over again, we will not always be able to determine the circumstances or situations around us, but we can determine what we do with that situation or circumstance. Praise God. So that will be the end of, I hope your questions were answered a bit. So that will be the end of the episode for today because of our time, so that we'll be encouraged to join next week. So I pray that as we have heard the word today, God will empower us all to maximize them in Jesus' name. And I pray that as we step out in faith this week and begin to change our attitudes according to the word of God, everything will work for our good, everything will work for your good, and you will prosper and excel. Begin to have good success in everything you do, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. See you next week and have a great week ahead. Praise the Lord. Bye.
TheGoodSuccess.com